praise God. He starts with a beautiful knowing who you are. And you know, there's a scripture that's really helped me so much. Oh, sorry. I need to be tall and speak into this microphone. There's a scripture that's really helped me so much in my life too. It's Proverbs 13, verse 12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. If you live all your life believing that there's some great day coming and everything will be sorted out then, you're not living in the power of the Holy Spirit. Today's the day. Give us today our daily bread. Today is the day. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. Who's our tree of life?
Praise God. So a dream fulfilled. He's our dream fulfilled.
So, okay, session one was called Raised Up to See. Session two was Raised Up to Receive. This is Raised Up to Be. Praise the Lord. We're going to be. So we've been talking about raising our vision, seeing ourselves as God sees us. And the reason for that is that we could be. See, if all my life I thought the Holy Spirit was coming to tell me what to do because I believed in doing to become. If I did all the right things, then I'd be the right person. Doing all the right things isn't the way into the right life. Doing all the right things isn't the way into the right life. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the life. Doing the right things is the fruit of being in the right life, but it's not the way into the right life. Praise God. So don't let your heart be sickened by being told one day in the by and by you can have all this that we're talking about this weekend. Today is the day. Amen. Today is the day. I really believe the enemy doesn't mind Christians believing that. You know what? Next month it's all going to be revival and praise the Lord. Next week even it's all. He doesn't mind as long as you never believe it's today. You know, tomorrow never comes. You're always living in the day. What a terrible thing to wake up one day and you've been waiting 20 years and you've missed your life. Because you weren't living in the day. You know the day we're living in as believers? This is the eternal day. This is the day of the Lord. All the things in the heavenly realm, it's the Lord's will that be in our lives today. Pray this way. Let thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven today. Praise God. So I'm going to give you an example of somebody actually rising up out of their earthly identity into their heavenly identity and all the struggles that went with that, you know. And so really, let's turn to an individual who's being raised up, because that's what this weekend is all about, higher. Turn to Judges 6. Who knows who we're speaking about this morning? I love this guy. Praise Lord. He's got all the reasons I have not to rise up. Okay, Judges 6. Judges 6. And you know the history of Judges 6, of course, and the Israel, the nation of Israel, is under the rod, really, and have been invaded, and the invaders are all over the place, and the Midianites, and they've got nothing, really. And here's Gideon, and he's hiding down in a hole in the ground, and he should be on top of a hill threshing wheat. Instead, he's in a hole in the ground trying to thresh wheat. That's a wonderful spiritual picture of being in a very small, confined, tight, dark, lowly place that many of us get into sometimes spiritually. I'm going to read from Judges 6 and verse 11. It says this: Then the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizurite, as his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress in order to save it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. And Gideon said to him, Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. And the Lord looked at him and said, Go, in this your strength, and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? Would you agree with me that whoever you have been born from has the right to name you? Anybody here name themselves? Just turn and check with the person beside you. Did you name yourself? So too, when we're born of God, when we're born from above, does he not have the right to name us? Does he not have the right to know our name and to speak our name, even if it looks nothing like what people around you think your name is? This morning I want to show you that the Holy Spirit is given that men and women would hear their heavenly name, what Paul described to Timothy as the holy calling, the grace and purpose given to them in Christ before the foundation of the world, before time began. And so this example we read this morning of Gideon hearing his heavenly name, that was a turning point in his life. And we spoke yesterday about turning points this weekend. It was a turning point in his life.
Praise God. And he went on to do great things. And the Bible is full of examples of men and women who did great things because they heard the great name that God had for their lives. Those who know their God will do exploits, the Bible says. So in each case, really, they were enabled by hearing that name to rise up and begin to live from God's name for them. God's name for them, not man's name for them, you know. And that's what hearing by the Spirit, hearing the voice of the Father, naming them does. And so people who hear the name the Father has from their heavenly name can begin to live from that name. Not for. I mean, all your Christian life you've been living to try and get somewhere. One day I'm going to be a really good Christian. One day I'm going to get life sorted out. As Sarah was saying, even as we grow up, we think, yeah, one day in the by and by, I'm going to do this and this and this and this and this, you know. God doesn't want us to live for one day. He wants us to live from one day. He wants us to live from. You see, you're born from above. Are you born from above by the Spirit? Yeah, we all agree to that. If you're born from above, live from above. Live. Don't live as an orphan. Live from above. Live from your heavenly identity. And we're going to look, in fact, at how that happens. And Gideon's a beautiful example of that. You know, there's no life greater than the life lived by people who believe God to be their Father. We all look for the high life. Everybody in Torquay right now is looking for the high life. Would you agree with that? What's the high life? Oh, I'm going to get that house. I'm going to get that holiday. I'm going to get that wife, that husband. I'm going to get that job, that promotion, the high life. There is no higher life than the life of someone who believes God to be their Father. Can you say amen to that? Now, the persuasion of that, oh, that's a bit of a journey. Because I can't see past everything I've done. I can't see past my earthly record. And apparently nobody around me can see past it either. And they keep reminding me of it. Oh, it's very difficult for me to rise up to be an eagle from a chicken when my wings continually be clipped by people speaking words over me that are not the word of the Heavenly Father over me. So Lord, open my eyes that I may hear the name that you have given to me. Because he doesn't want us to live like orphans, praise God. And that intimacy sets us free from that orphanhood. So very often, sometimes, our whole lives, we hide behind a religious front sometimes. I mean, that's what Adam and Eve did, isn't it? When they lost their revelation of who they were, Adam, the first thing he did was he sewed some fig leaves together to cover his nakedness, you know? And that's religion. It's doing to become, I'll cover myself. I'll cover myself with glory. Praise God, you know? I'll cover myself with glory. So Jesus said to his disciples, I will not leave you that way. I will not leave you as orphans. I will send my Holy Spirit. Interesting, isn't it? The Holy Spirit, he deals with that root problem of identity. And he was speaking of the ministry of the Holy Spirit who communicates to us God's name for us. And hearing that name that heaven has for you really imparts to you his life. You know, it's recorded in Luke 1. Do you remember the story of the father of John the Baptist? John the Baptist's father was called, Zacharias, and his mother was called Elizabeth. That's right. And there's a beautiful story there, really. Elizabeth had never had a child, and she thought she was too old to have a child. And then they had this amazing child, John the Baptist. And the angel Gabriel, yeah, I think it was, appeared to Zacharias behind the curtain in the veil. He was serving in the temple. And he told him about this child. This child, Gabriel said, is going to be great in the sight of God. Ho, ho. And I'm going to tell you a name for this child. Here's the name you're going to name this child. You're going to name this child John. Do you know what the word John means? Yahweh is gracious, or graced by God. Whoa, graced by God. What an amazing name. And so that child was graced and purposed by God from before the beginning of time. God had a destiny for John the Baptist. But for him to grow up into that, and in Jesus, in fact, remember Jesus pointed to John the Baptist and said, I tell you the truth, up to this point, nobody greater has been born of a woman than John the Baptist. You know, and so it was important for John to grow up believing that he is graced by God. Important. So here's the Lord's strategy to help John to grow up to believe that he is graced by God. Zacharias, you're to call him graced by God every day of his life. I give you this name, graced by God. You will call him that name. So all of his life growing up, he was called by that name. Graced by God, come in for your tea. Graced by God, it's time to go to school. Graced by God, can you go and help your sister? Graced by God, do you see? And that's what the Holy Spirit does to you and I. He keeps speaking to us, our heavenly name, all the time, even on your worst day. You're graced by God, you see? And it's being spoken to that, by that, with that name, on your worst day, that will convince you more than anything else that this is who you are. Can you see where the Holy Spirit is not going to drop to your level, you know? You know, if your child comes home from school and they've got a report from the teacher that says they're stupid, you know, and their child says, I'm just stupid, you know, are you going to say, yeah, okay, yeah, okay, I'll agree with that. Yeah, you're just stupid. Let's start from there. You're just stupid. Hey, I don't think a parent's going to do that, are they? I remember a report came back on one of our children from school, and it said something like, this child doesn't have the capacity to do this level. Nicola, whoa, stand clear, you know. I am not receiving that. She was right. She didn't believe that, and she was correct. Child had much more than that. But, you know, if your parent doesn't even believe in you, what chance have you got, you know? The whole world is not going to tell you who you are in Christ. The Holy Spirit's going to do that, and it's going to fill the church. So at least if you're having the worst week of your life, at least you can come to the body of Christ, and somebody is going to see you and speak to you after the Spirit. And that is going to call you upwards. That's going to call you out of that small, squashed life that the whole world is trying to conform you into. This is the power of hearing who you are by the voice spoken over you, the voice of the Spirit, you know. It's a beautiful thing, that story. I love that story because Gabriel stands there and he makes this declaration to John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is totally looking at the situation from an earthly point of view, like we do, you know. And he says, that cannot happen. Listen, I know the situation. My wife, I mean, we've tried to have a child. How can that be, you know? Total unbelief. And you know, it was so important that unbelief was not spoken over John the Baptist that the angel said, your mouth will now be shut and you will not speak at all. You know what? Unbelief shuts the mouth of the church to speak in the Spirit. Because we listen to the gospel and we say, that's too good to be true. You know, surely if God opened the gates of heaven, the windows of heaven, this could not be. Remember who said that? It was the soldier in the siege of Samaria when the prophet had spoken a word saying, by this time tomorrow, this siege will be lifted and people will be selling wheat in the streets like as cheap as chips. And the soldier who lent him the arm of the king said, surely if the windows of heaven were opened, this could not happen in one day. You know what? The windows of heaven were opened in one day. Christ and him crucified. God has given all that needs to be given. But you know, it was so important that John the Baptist grew up into his heavenly identity that the mouth of his father was shut and remained shut. If you remember, when did it remain shut to? Until it came to the time for John the Baptist to be named. And because his father couldn't speak, they said to his mother, what's his name? What are we calling him? And she said, oh, graced by God. And they said, no, none of your family are called graced by God. We're going to name him after his family. And dumb Zacharias asked for a tablet and wrote, his name is John. And at that moment, his tongue was loosed and he prophesied. And out of him came all this beautiful language about his son and about what he would do. Isn't that beautiful? Now he could be a father that raised a great son, a son filled with the Spirit. And you see the responsibility we have as leaders in the church and fathers. You know, the Holy Spirit is the one who instructed Paul to write these words to the Corinthians. You have 10,000 instructors, but you don't have many fathers. A father does not define you by your performance. A manager will, but not a father. A father tells you who you are. A manager tells you who you could be if you tried harder. You don't need another instructor. You need a father. Praise God. And that's who we have by the Spirit of the Father in us. Be filled with the Spirit of the Father. Speak to people their heavenly name. Praise God. Now, it may not always be received. And this is where we come back to our friend Gideon. Praise God. But this is God's strategy to keep speaking this name. And we're going to see actually that that's in fact exactly what he did with Gideon, you know. See, if you ever, as a believer, insist on living by the name of your own works, then you will resist the name the Holy Spirit addresses you by. For he speaks to us according to God's work. And that's why he speaks to believers as the righteousness of God in Christ. Thank God for the gift of tongues where we can edify ourselves, build ourselves up in the Spirit. Thank God for prophecy and gifts of healing and faith and all the gifts of the Spirit. Yet the sad thing is you can even operate in all those things, and yet we can have all that in Christ and yet live resisting the great name for us in Christ spoken over us. So John the Baptist, he lived a great life, but according to Jesus, the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. This is blow your mind, you know. And if we're not hearing that message, we can't live from that life. So this is why we're reading about Gideon this morning, because Gideon really resisted this, you know. Because the Lord came and said, "Oh, mighty warrior," and Gideon says, "Come on, for goodness sake, let's have a look at this," you know. And before I tell you this, I've made a statement I have to prove to you. I've said to you that there's a calling in your life that has been there since before the foundation of the world, before time began. I'm telling you that God has a destiny and a name for you that you'll hear by the Spirit, and I need to show you where that is in the Bible. So turn to 2 Timothy. You can keep your finger in Judges 6, but turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 1, and I'm going to read you this, verses 8 to 10. It says this, "Therefore," this is Paul writing to his spiritual son, Timothy, "do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works." 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 words. What a beautiful thing to underline in your Bible. The name God has for you is not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Praise God. So we're not called according to our works. Our works are done in this life. We're not called by God according to what we have done or haven't done, or what has happened to us or what has not happened to us in this life. We're called according to God's purpose and grace given to us in Christ. You'll find your identity in Christ. And that's what's been prepared for us. Remember, we spoke this morning about the great things that's been prepared for us. From before the foundation of the world, this life has been prepared for you and I, this life of Christ. The tense is very important. This was given. This holy calling was given before time began. But you can see that in the way it's very hard for our finite minds to understand that and receive that. Because we're living in the temporal realm, and our whole lives really have been defined by what's happened to us, what we've done and what we haven't done, the name that the people have given to us, you know. Praise God. But we have a higher calling. So the religion that comes from the earth, from mere human wisdom, says that God names you after your works, so get busy. Get busy with your doing. Work hard, and above all, do lots of holy things that you may establish your name as righteous and holy in God's sight. But here's the problem with religion. As long as you're trying to establish a name for yourself through the way you live your life, you will struggle to submit to the name God gives you. I'll say it again. As long as you're trying to establish a name for yourself through what you do, you will struggle to receive and submit to the name God gives you by grace. That's exactly what Paul said about his Jewish brothers. He loved them so much. But in Romans 10, he said this, you know, I'll give them this. They are zealous for God. You got to admit they're zealous for God. But he wrote this, in seeking to establish their own righteousness, they have not submitted to the righteousness from God. Can you see what he's saying? They have not taken the name that comes by grace. They're not living the life of Christ because they're trying to live apart from him. They're trying to live his life by themselves. Verse 3, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. What is that? That's the name, praise God, that we're given in Christ, the righteousness of God. In Christ Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? The whole reason Jesus became sin for us was that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's 2 Corinthians 5:21. But anyone who's seeking to establish their own righteousness, their own name, cannot submit to receive, to live from the righteousness of God, to live in and to live from that name. There is power in the name of Jesus and in living from that name, the righteousness of God. Praise God. Remember in Acts 3 when Peter raised the cripple outside at the gate beautiful outside the temple, he said, you know, he raised this man. He said, silver and gold we don't have. What we have, we give to you. He had such a revelation that day of who he was and what he had, you know. He didn't say to the cripple, stay right there. I'm going to go to the temple and pray that God will heal you. He didn't say that, did he? full of the Holy Spirit, he said, come here. And he grabbed him by the hand and he pulled him to his feet. That's what the gospel should do. Grabs you by your hand and pulls you to your feet. The right hand of fellowship. Arise. Arise and pull you to your feet. Stand up in Christ. Be whom God declares you to be. Praise God. Now afterwards, when people saw this cripple dancing and jumping, they looked at Peter, and Peter said an amazing thing. He said, why do you look at us as if by our own piety we made this man well? This man was made well in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, you know. It's in the name. It's in living in him that there is power. Praise God, you know. When we pray prayers, we always close by saying, in Jesus' name, amen. That can be like a superstition sometimes for Christians. What does that mean, in Jesus' name? It means you're in the family. You're the God kind. When you pray with authority. You're not praying upwards to heaven. You're praying from heaven. Pray from that revelation of who you are. Jesus, I was saying this to Val earlier on. Jesus shocked people by the way he spoke. You know why? He spoke with authority. What is authority? He spoke as someone who wasn't trying to become somebody. Woo! When the temple police went to arrest him, they couldn't arrest him. They made the mistake of hesitating to listen to him for 5 minutes. Oh, they were lost. And they just shrunk before him because nobody spoke with such authority. The temple police went back to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees, why didn't you arrest him? Nobody has spoken like this man. It's very unusual to meet somebody who knows who they are. That's how I got saved. When my wife was filled with the Holy Spirit, she spoke with confidence all my life. Running to church never gave me confidence. Yet here she was speaking, believing who she was, a child of God. That's deeply attractive. I want that confidence. The whole world is looking for certainty. The whole world wants to know. So know who you are. Be certain. Be established in your heavenly name. Praise God and speak from there. And you speak with authority. You know, when Jesus came out of the desert, he came out in the power of the Spirit. You know why? Because he knew who he was. Three times the devil said, if you are, if you are, if you are the Son of God. How did he respond? With the Word of God. That's why we're in the Word. The Word tells us who we are. Praise God. That's the concrete and the steel girders that all this high life is established on. We know by the Word who we are. It's such a beautiful thing. Praise God. Anyone seeking to establish their own righteousness or their own name cannot submit to receive the name that comes from God. Praise the Lord. So, earthly religion is for orphans, those who live not knowing their Father, not hearing his name. Jesus said, I will not leave you that way. I will not leave you as orphans. So we could say the primary revelation of the Holy Spirit would not be to show men what they needed to do, but to reveal to them the fatherhood of God in Christ. That's why the Holy Spirit points to Christ. He doesn't point to you and I. To show them who we are, that we may be who God declares us to be. Because doing always flows from being. We said that yesterday too. Jesus came to take an axe to the root. He didn't come to trim the hedge. He's not saying, listen, I'd like you to sin a bit less this year, if you don't mind. You know, I'd like to tidy up the church a little bit, you know, and trim the hedges. And your sinning needs to be cut back a little bit. I'll be quite happy with that. He came to take an axe to the root. What you're doing flows from what you're believing. He comes to give a metanoia, a total revelation of who you are. Because what you're doing right now comes from what you're believing. You know, if you go out there and find somebody stealing and ask them why they're stealing, I need this. I can't become the person I want to become unless I take this, you see? And we said this morning, Jesus didn't act like that. He was totally giving because he was so established in who he was. He knew that everything he needed had been given, had been given. Here's the gospel. Everything that we need to be the person God sees us to be has been given. It's such a beautiful thing. And we come back to our friend Gideon. The name God gives to Gideon offends him precisely because it takes no account of Gideon's life. You see, God gives you a name that takes no account of your life, and that can be deeply offensive. Gideon there has an experience, and I mentioned it this morning. He was living a terrible experience. This invading army had taken everything from him. You can imagine how he felt, really, you know. In fact, it came out, he said to the Lord, I'm just the weakest of the weak. I mean, my family's the weakest, you know. And where have you been, by the way? Have you ever had that thought with God? Anybody said that to God? Excuse me, this great weekend about I'm this and I'm that. Where have you been for 40 years? Maybe you're sitting listening to me this weekend saying that. Oh, that's all great for you to say, Phelan. You haven't seen my life. Where have you been for 40 years, God? That's what Gideon is saying to him, you know. Because Gideon's experience was that he was abandoned by God. Can you hear him say that? Where have you been? Where are all the miracles we keep hearing about every Sunday? Where are they all? We've been abandoned by God. And me, I'm the weakest, you see? So here's Gideon. Here's what he has named himself. He has allowed what's happened to him to name himself. I have been abandoned by God and I am powerless. Listen to the first words out of God's mouth. Behold, mighty warrior whom the Lord is with. Can you see that heaven's name for you is the exact opposite of what the enemy would tell you your name is? Can you see the difference? God says, my thoughts about you are as high above the earth as the heavens are above the earth. Isn't that amazing? His thoughts about us, who he declares us to be. Gideon had named himself by what's happened to him. Praise God. And many of us do exactly the same. We take what's happened to us, really, and we say we've been abandoned by God. And so we live by our lifetime, our own lives, either a lifetime of sacrifice, like the elder brother, or a lifetime of sin or destruction, and we name ourselves according to our life. And out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speak. Words of the Spirit always pierce the heart. They expose our true beliefs. When God said that to Gideon, out came this, whoa, what about? What about? What about? And that's what happens sometimes when you preach the gospel. People say, oh, no, 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 no. What about? What about? What about? If that's true, what about? You see what the gospel does? It offends the heart. It reveals the heart. It reveals what you believe. Religion asks you the question, what are you doing? The gospel asks, what are you believing? God's after what you're believing. If you want a real turning point this weekend? He's after what you're believing. He's not after what you're doing. To be told that God is with him, that he is mighty in God's eyes, is too much for Gideon. And so it draws out of him the unbelief that he's living from. Out it pours. Look at verse 13. Gideon said to the Lord, oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about? Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. Suddenly, out of his heart came all this poison. Out of his heart came all this poison. You know, sometimes you can meet people in church, and some people have already said a few times this weekend, isn't it wonderful to be around a weekend? And Sarah mentioned that about going away and getting saved at a weekend. It's amazing the number of young people you'll speak to. If you ask them, when did you give your life to the Lord? It was at a weekend. It was at a weekend, you know. There's a reality that comes in, you know. It's hard for people to keep a front up over a weekend. You do it for 40 minutes on a Sunday morning, you know. Now you start talking to somebody about something, and you specially mention about the goodness of God. Listen to what comes out. Up will come all the, well, it's not as simple as that, you know. Let me tell you what happened to me. Whoa, up it comes, up it comes. You see, the gospel of grace lances the abscess of unbelief in the heart. That's why God uses it like a sharp knife to do that, you know. When I was a vet, I used to lance abscesses. Not the nicest job in the world. But as you're not having lunch right now, I'm going to describe it to you. I say, oh, you're okay. When you have a cat bites normally turn into an abscess. And nurses have told me that human bites are the same. They're even worse because cats carry a lot of bugs in their mouth. So if they bite you, it'll turn into an abscess. When you're coming to lance an abscess, you have to get it at just the right time, you know, because if the abscess is hard, if you lance it, it doesn't all come out. And then it'll just cover up, and then it'll just grow again. You have to wait until the abscess points. So you feel it till it's soft, and when it's ready to lance, then you stick the knife in. Boom, and out comes all this, or, you know. But because it all comes out, then it's able to heal, you know. The gospel of grace is like a sharp knife that lances the heart. It goes right to what you're believing and takes out the poison if it comes at the right time, you know. And so you've got to be careful, really, to discern by the Spirit what point people are at. Some people don't want their abscess lanced just yet, you know. Other people are at breaking point, and there's an anger there, you know. Gideon here was furious. Behold, mighty warrior whom the Lord is with. Volcano. Well, let me tell you about the last 40 years. Where have you been? Praise God for the power of God's word to do that. One thing God knows above all things that's sharp enough to lance the abscesses of unbelief in our heart. One thing above all annoys the hell out of religious people. People who have named themselves after their own lives. The generosity of God. The generosity of God will annoy the hell out of you. Have a look at the elder brother. What in God's name are you doing throwing a party for my brother? It'll bring out what was hidden. It will bring out what was hidden. Praise God. The dutiful elder brother worked religiously for his father, believing that because of the works of his life, his father would name him co-heir and share all that he had with him. But we've just read from 2 Timothy this morning that God's calling his name is not according to our works, but according to his grace and purpose given in Christ Jesus. In other words, he names us according to his works, not according to our works. Maybe write that down if you forget everything else this weekend. He names us according to his works. In other words, he names us according to his mercy, according to his grace, according to his nature, according to his love. So if you've believed the lie of religion that God names you and gives to you because of what you have done, then you may appear from the outside to be happily working away for God, but there's an abscess of frustration growing on the inside of you, and God is a knife sharp enough to lance that abscess. It's called the gospel of God's grace. And that knifery, that revelation from heaven of the generosity of the loving Father who refuses to name us after our lives, but wants us to live extraordinary lives. You see, extraordinary lives are lived by people who believe extraordinary things. And there is nothing in this life more extraordinary to believe than God is your generous Father. There is nothing in this life more extraordinary to believe than to be tied up in jail, having been beaten and whipped and shackled and abandoned, and to be singing your heart out. Because what has happened to you no longer tells you who you are. You have the Holy Spirit inside you to tell you who you are. You know, the remarkable part about that story when the earthquake came in Philippi was that none of the other prisoners left. You know why? In that prison, they had seen a freedom that they couldn't see in the world. Isn't that beautiful? Because when the earthquake came, you remember it said all the chains fell off? Any of those guys could have ran away. That's why the prison guard was going to fall on his own sword, because the penalty for losing a prisoner was death. And Paul said, no, we're all here. What a miracle. What a miracle. You know, I mean, what prisoner, if the door flies open, doesn't run out? Where can you go to see liberty like that? You'll get your greatest breakthrough of the revelation of how free you are, sometimes in the most confined situation of your life, when you are just hemmed in by family or circumstances or sickness or whatever it is, almost to be crushed to death. And in that moment, in those times, praise God, when you can't go on, you said, Lord, I can't go on any longer. I can't do this any longer. It's then you'll hear the whisper of the Holy Spirit saying, I never asked you to do anything apart from me. Praise God. Paul wrote his greatest letters of liberty while he was jailed. That's not an accident, praise God. To me, actually, I got my greatest revelations of the Father during COVID when I stopped doing church long enough to listen. And I've resolved not to go back to what people have called the barrenness of busyness, you know. If you let this world, they will make you busy. They will give you something to do. If you don't have a vision from God of who you are, somebody will give you one. Somebody will give you one. They'll make you work hard to do this and do that and do the other. You need to know who you are so you can say, God bless you. This is who I am. And this is what I'm doing. It's flowing from who I am. Praise God. Now, to be honest, when you're a father and mother, you serve your children. You serve your children to the day you die. My mom, you know, she's in her 80s. My dad's 90s. They still say to me, are you eating enough? Can we give you something? Take some food with you. But mom, I've been married for 30 years. I don't need any food, you know. When you're full of love, you serve. And that's what maturity is in the church, you know. Sometimes you got to stand in the gap. Sometimes you got to do things. But you do it for the other person. Do you understand? So it's not an individualistic thing. Well, I'll just do this because this is my ministry. No, sometimes you got to serve. But at least if you have a revelation of who you are, you don't serve grumpily. You know, Martha said, Jesus, for goodness sake, tell Mary to do something. And Jesus said, no, I won't do that. She's made a good choice. It'll not be taken from her, you know. Martha, you've just been so busy. You just haven't received what Mary's receiving, you know. You just need to be less busy. Praise God. And Martha got there. Praise God. So if you believe the lie of religion that God names you and gives you because of what you've done, on the outside you may be happily worshiping away and praying away and go to church, but inside there's an abscess of frustration. I don't have to talk too long to people in the church to know actually what's going on in their life, you know. Come on. You just have to ask somebody, how are you doing? Oh my God, they'll tell you. You know, you listen to what people say. It reveals everything in the heart, you know. Maybe that's why sometimes, you know, be careful. Sometimes, preacher's children can have a hard time. Or somebody, maybe a child sitting under something has been said, and then they go home and they hear a different narrative. Be careful about that. Your children are listening to you. They're not believing what you say. They're believing who you're living. They're watching how you're living, you know. So we need to know that this joy really carries us all through the week. And maybe like John the Baptist's father, maybe we just better not say anything if you can't say anything good over your child. Praise the Lord. So, Gideon, struggling to receive all that unbelief in his heart. Like the elder brother, he didn't believe in his father. He didn't believe in the generosity of his father. You know why? Because he was believing in himself. You see, if you're believing that all your works, your 30 years of serving God should count for something, you're believing in yourself. That's a hard thing to hear. It's a hard thing to hear. But I promise you, if you can hear it and receive it, it'll set you free from a tremendous burden. Beware the yeast of the Pharisees. Any message that'll teach you to believe in yourself, it's a rod for your back, because nobody can ever tell you when enough is enough. Jesus said it from the cross. It's finished. Enough is enough. I've done all that needs to be done that you would be. That's why Paul was so furious with the Galatians. Somebody had come in and added a little bit to the gospel. Yeah, that's all true. Yes, Jesus has done it all. But you need to be circumcised as well. Now, nobody's saying that today. But there may be other things he'll say. Don't let anybody add. Who was it said? Jesus plus nothing equals everything, you know. The moment you add something to Jesus, you actually push yourself away. You know, Paul said to them, he didn't estrange himself from you. You estranged yourself from him. You're estranging yourself from the grace of God, praise God, by falling back on self-reliance, praise the Lord. So you and I might be in the midst of all our troubles and we're standing in a hole in the ground just wondering what exactly more do we have to do after all our years of sacrifice to get anything out of God. And along comes the gospel of grace, the message that your life as a believer is now hidden with Christ and God. And you are, in fact, the righteousness of God in Christ. And in fact, you couldn't be more blessed than you are today. And it defends the hell out of you. And it'll cause a metanoia. Praise God. It's offensive enough to draw out into the open the unbelief that much of the church has been living in. And that's why God wants that message preached. That's offensive enough to draw unbelief into the open. Because you know why? And this might shock you. God doesn't see sin as the biggest problem in the church. He sees unbelief. Jesus did some of his greatest miracles around sinners. But in his hometown, he could do very little. Unbelief in who he was. God is merciful. He knows how religious, how self-conscious our thinking can be, so he's got an answer. He's got the remedy to all of these issues that we struggle with our name. And here's his answer. He never stops speaking to us our true name. That's what he does. Look at verse 14. What does God say in reply to all Gideon's list of objections? It says that the Lord says nothing. It's like he ignores what Gideon has just said. About 40 years have been under the Midianites, you know. And the Lord looked at him, verse 14, and said, go in this your strength and deliver the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? You remember when the prodigal son came home, he had a speech prepared for the father. And in the speech, really, he'd listed all the things he'd done wrong and that he believed the only way now to right the wrong was for him now to become a servant and pay back everything he owed. Do you remember that nice speech? In fact, if you read that, you can see the father actually interrupted him halfway through that speech. Fam, he's a terrible guy. I mean, I've done everything. Just make me like a servant. The father wasn't even listening to him. He was saying, get my robe. Get my shoes. Get my ring. Because my God, my son has forgotten who he is. He's saying, you're my son. Start there. You want to work for me? That's fine. But work as my son. Don't work as my servant. Jesus said, I tell my secrets to my friends. Remember we said yesterday? He died as the firstborn among many brethren, not many workers, praise God. He comes to lift us up into the life of Christ, the life of a son, the life of a perfectly loved son. So the father, he just gave him the coat, he gave him the ring, he gave him the shoes. In those days, servants went barefoot. Only sons wore shoes. The gospel will put your shoes back on. Oh, how beautiful the feet, this well shod with the gospel. Praise God. To go as the sons of God. So we're all here this morning because he saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. Aren't you glad of that? Because of his own purpose and grace given in Christ before the foundation of the world. Aren't you glad that he's a God who called a coward hiding in a hole in the ground, mighty warrior, because he saw Gideon not according to his earthly works, but according to the purpose and grace given to him. He's a God who called an escaped murderer the deliverer of my people, because he didn't see Moses according to his earthly record, according to his works, but according to the purpose and grace given to him. He's a God who called a certain man who was an adulterer and a murderer, a man after my own heart, because he saw David not according to his earthly works, but according to the grace and purpose given to him. He's a man who called, a God who called a man who had betrayed him and broken his promise, shepherd of my sheep, because he saw Peter not according to his earthly works, but according to the grace and purpose of God given to him. You see, there are only two types of people, those who live by the name they give themselves and those who live by the name God gives them. Which one are you? The first will strain in life. The second will reign in life. My favorite picture of someone reigning in life is Christ standing in front of Pontius Pilate, beaten and bruised and bloodied after getting a beating. You know, I went to a school, a primary school, where they beat us with a stick, and I still remember the terror of that, you know, and how intimidated you felt. And I thought, I'm never going to step out of line again, you know. You imagine how shocked Pilate was. He was used to men coming before him who had a beating, men who knew that there's only one thing standing between them and death, and that's what Pilate said, you know. And here walks in Jesus, who has absolutely got the authority of a king, even though he's beaten and bruised and bloodied, and that frightens Pilate. But here's a man who's not pleading for his life. And Pilate says to him, don't you know? Don't you know I have the power over life and death? Jesus said, you have nothing over me that the Father hasn't given you. I'm not here to save my life. I'm here to give my life. When you know who you are in Christ, what they do to you cannot change who you are. And that peace and authority in your life, especially on your worst days, will be what speaks to the world around you. Not on your best days, on your worst days, that you're able to keep your head, and that you're able to keep smiling, keep laughing, keep speaking, keep giving, on your worst day, because you have that fire within you, praise God. That ability to live in union with God, to reign in life. Any gospel that does not show you now how God sees you has no power, for as a man thinks, so he is. So if your gospel lets you think of yourself as a mere man, that is how you will continue to live. And it's our communities that suffer from such a powerless gospel because they don't need to see men, they need to see Christ. They need to see the Son. And it's God's will by the Spirit that they see sons in the Son. They see the Son in us, the lives of perfectly loved children. You see, the life of a perfectly loved children reveals a perfectly loving parent. Confident children are a great testimony to their parents, aren't they? Insecure, nervous, selfish children are not a great testimony to their parents. That's not who he has made us to be. As long as you're trying to establish a name for yourself through the way you live your life, you will struggle to submit to the name God has for you. And some of us are so determined to establish our own name that we cannot see that the more religious we have become, the deeper the hole we have dug for ourselves. For as Paul said to the Galatians, trying to establish your own righteousness doesn't raise you closer to heaven. It estranges you from the grace of God. When you're in a hole, stop digging. That's good advice, isn't it? Here's a good thing about being in a hole. The only way is up. And God comes to raise us up. And his way of raising us up has never changed, is to call us by our eternal name. And I had this desire this morning to do that, to prophesy over you, to lay hands on people, to speak. I believe in laying hands on people. I believe in one-to-one, that God gives something and you can speak something over a person, you know. And I wanted an opportunity to do that today. And let me tell you why. 25 years ago, did I mention to you that my mother has dementia, and over the last 10 years she's been living in a home, you know. We go to see her every day. She sort of barely recognizes us, but she doesn't know really where she is or who she is, you know. 25 years ago I brought my mother and father, good Catholic people, I dared to bring them to a Pentecostal meeting, you know. And at this meeting was this group of sort of Americans, and you know what Americans are like, God bless them. They can be radical, you know. These people were radical in the Holy Spirit, you know. And this meeting turned into something extraordinary. I mean, there's people all over the place, and there was a lot of stuff. To be honest, I wanted my mum and dad to come to a respectable meeting. And I remember sitting in that meeting with at one point my hands were over my eyes, and I was looking at my mum and dad going, oh God, they'll never come to another meeting ever again, you know? But something extraordinary happened in that meeting. An American lady crossed the room and came to my mother and said, I have a word from you from the Lord. Do you mind if I give your mother a word? I said, yeah, please do. And she turned to my mother and she said, the Lord says to you, you're a great mum. Well, that word went straight into her in quite an extraordinary way. And I tell you the truth before God today, 25 years later, I can go into my mum in a home with dementia, and she is just someone in a different place. And I can begin to talk about that day, and I can say, mum, do you remember what God says about you? He says you're a great mum, and her eyes light up. And she comes back into herself, you know, because the Lord only said that, must have said that, because something deep in her, she must have been living from a lie that she wasn't a great mum. I mean, she had 7 children. It was quite a job, you know. And so something in her, she was believing a lie. I'm a terrible mum. And the Lord comes and he says to you, let me tell you who you are. You're a great mum. And 25 years later, that word can bring her out of darkness into light. And I want to speak such words over people. I don't want to see people after the flesh. I want to see them after the spirit. I want to speak over them words from heaven that bring people into Christ's mind in them. That's what we've been given, the mind of Christ. We'll say a little bit more about that tomorrow. We've been raised up that we may raise others up. And so I want to finish this morning just by having that opportunity just to speak life. And maybe thank you, Bruce, to come and play. And I want to say to you this morning, maybe you're here and maybe this weekend you've been feeling really far from God, you know, and maybe you're realizing that you've been standing in a hole in the ground. Gideon was so far from God, he wasn't even on the earth. He was standing in a hole in the ground. And you know, that's where sometimes this world will leave you. This world that has a different message to the gospel. This world that measures you by what you're doing and what's happened to you. It'll leave you feeling so estranged, praise God, from God. And the Holy Spirit wants to come and he wants to lift you up again simply by saying something as simple as calling you by your name. And so we're going to do that right now, praise God. Let's all stand to our feet. So you just spend some time yourself with it. What's he saying to you? I know there's been a lot of information, a lot of words. What's he saying to you? If you will hear my voice, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. And his voice leads us out. It leads us out of darkness, leads us out of that small, fearful, anxious life. It leads us into a broad, beautiful place. Well, we can just believe, in fact, that we have everything we need, even on the worst day of our lives. We can speak beautiful words. We can speak beautiful words over our children. But you know, it starts by speaking those beautiful words over yourself. How can you give those words if you have not received? It's the last thing Jesus said to the 70 disciples before he sent them out. He said, can I say one more thing to you? Freely you have received, freely give. If you will not freely receive, you will not be able to freely give. You can only give what you've received. So this is an equipping for ministry. Will you receive the name God has for you? Will you live from that name? Live from that name. And you will live an extraordinary life. You will live a great life. Because your life will bring the kingdom of heaven onto the earth. And there's no lack in the kingdom of heaven, even on the worst day. Live a life believing the name the Father has for you. And you'll be a window into heaven. And God's prayer will be answered. The kingdom of heaven will be seen on the face of the earth, for it will be seen in the sons of God, manifesting on the face of the earth peace and rest, righteousness and joy, which is the kingdom of God. Praise God. So if you have that desire, that need, if you want prayer today, you feel free to come forward. Praise the Lord. And maybe I'll ask maybe Mel or Si to stand with me, and we'll pray with you, and we'll speak those words over your life. Let's just do that for a few minutes at the end of the session, so that when we go, wherever we go this afternoon, we'll walk in that name, praise the Lord, and we'll be that living light, carrying that light into the darkness, praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. Let's just lift up the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. If you can pray in the Spirit now, you just pray in the Spirit. Whatever your need is, if you feel the need to come out for prayer, you just come out for prayer. We'll pray with you. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Jesus.